Blog Talk Radio.
Your body is not who you are. You shed it like a snake sheds its skin. You transfer the human consciousness between bodies to live eternal life.
How long have I been down?
250 years.
You are the property of Bancroft Industries. You've been provided with this body, which came equipped with military-grade neurochem and combat muscle memory.
Mr. Kovacs,
I didn't ask you to bring me back into this world.
All I ask of you is that you solve a murder.
Whose?
Mine.
This is the beginning.
Whoever murdered him must be found, or we're all in danger.
I'm going to need access that you don't want to give. And I'm going to find answers that you may only think you want.
Friends, enemies, people with opportunity and motive.
You can't trust anybody.
If you don't solve this quickly enough,
I'm going to erase you.
Of the end.
I thought you'd be bigger. They made me bring all this back up.
It's rude.
There's more here than you're willing to see.
Saving your ass is not my only job.
I like her.
This is the beginning.
Well, good evening, everybody. Welcome to Geek Talking with Uncle Jim. I'm here tonight to talk to you guys a little bit about a new series, which is on Netflix called Altered Carbon. We just listened to the trailer, and now we're going to talk a little bit about the show. So what is this show about? People have been complaining about it and praising it both simultaneously. I've read on the line that it's a hot mess, that it's confusing, all kinds of things. But I will say this. You have to sit through the first episode to really understand it and get into it. You can't just turn it off after the first episode because the nature of this show evolves around immortality. If you could live forever, would you do it? Would you want to do it? Is it our morality? Is it our mortality that makes us who we are? If you take that away, are we the same person? So it gets a little bit confusing because in the future, people have these little blue discs in the back of their neck called a stack. When you die, they take your stack out of your body, which is called a sleeve, and they put it into another body or another sleeve so you can live forever. You can be a man, you can be a woman, you can change races, anything you want. So you never die. So how much of you is lost every time you do this, and how much of you is wrapped up in your appearance and your race, your gender, your culture? These are the questions that the show tackles, and they're pretty deep questions. So people that expect the answers to just be laid out for them in black and white, you know, you turn the page and there's the answer. You're not going to find that in Altered Carbon. They lay it out, and then it's up to you to find your own answers and decide, you know, what's right, what's wrong, who's good, who's bad. So that's what makes the show so good, I think. A lot of people are comparing it to Blade Runner. And I will say this. It has a Blade Runner look and a Blade Runner feel in so much as we have police cars that fly like the DeLorean and Back to the Future. We have cities that go up into the clouds like in Blade Runner. And we have all these electronic interactive billboards and things like in Blade Runner. So it looks and feels very Blade Runner-ish. But other than that, that's where the similarities end as far as Blade Runner, because in Blade Runner, Harrison Ford's Blade Runner was searching for replicants. These were robots, androids that were designed to look and act human. That's not the case in Altered Carbon. So it's not exactly the same as Blade Runner. If I were to draw a comparison to any other sci-fi show, I would have to say that it's more in line with William Shatner's Tech War, where people would die and they had these goggles that they would wear that were kind of like a VR goggle, and they could go into alternate realities and things of that nature. And that would be, that's more of what I think Altered Carbon is. It has the feel of Tech War to me. And if you don't remember that show, William Shatner wrote the books and he starred on the television show, came out, I believe it was the early 90s. And when you got arrested, they put you on ice for X amount of years or decades. And then they thaw you out later and everyone you knew and loved would be dead. Unless you had one of these Tech War devices, then you could go back in VR and visit with them. So it's more along the lines of a Tech War. But I think that Blade Runner is more popular, so that's the one that people tend to remember the most. Would you agree with me, Eric?
Hi, yeah, thanks for having me on. Yes, I would agree with you, although what's amazing is that in the very first episode of Altered Carbon, you know, you sort of get the overview of the city, and you get this beautiful kind of landscape in front of you showing all of the really tall spires, you know, kind of futuristic architecture. And even the soundtrack during the first couple of episodes of the show has kind of a Vangelis kind of feel to it, which is a little Blade Runner-y. But I will admit that after I feel like it sort of gave me the Blade Runner flavor up front, but then it started to go into other types of sci-fi. I mean, I'm only four episodes in myself, and I just watched I don't know how deep you want to get into episodes. I'm trying not to give too many spoilers away, but basically I'm in an episode where it has kind of a very Matrix sort of feel to it. And, you know, can you command the virtual environment that you're in? Which is kind of interesting to me. I feel like this show is doing a really cool job of mixing a whole bunch of other sci-fi genres together and putting them together in a very interesting way.
As the show progresses, as you go through each episode, I don't want to give too much away either, but it starts off with Kovacs has been frozen for 250 years, if I remember correctly. And he's what they call
right.
An envoy. And way 250 or 300 years ago, there was this alien tech found which could allow you to imprint your essence onto a chip and be transferred into another body. The envoys were fighting against technology because the envoys didn't feel that it was natural for human beings to live forever and that we would lose our humanity if we lived forever, because it was our mortality that made us human. They lost the war. All the envoys were killed and their stacks were destroyed. However, Kovacs, who's the hero or anti-hero of Altered Carbon, as it were, there's this really, really rich dude in the future named Bancroft, and he has so much money that he's able to salvage Kovacs's stack and bring him back to life 250 years later. And that's where the story picks up, where he wakes up as the thing that he fought against all those years ago, decades ago, centuries ago. And that's where the story starts, which is interesting. One of the things that gets a little bit confusing, but you'll adjust to it, is because they change bodies so much, the same character will have flashbacks and whatnot and you'll see that character in a different body. And in the first couple of episodes, it gets a little confusing, like who's that, who's this, who this. But by the third or fourth episode, you get to know that who these characters are when they go back in time. And the main gist of whole story is, in the future, you are not, if you're killed, if you're murdered, you're not allowed to be, they call it spun up. When they take your stack and put it in another sleeve, they call it being spun up. If you're murdered, you're not allowed to be spun up to testify at your own murder against the person that murdered you. So the other part of this whole thing is, in the future, they want to make it legal to where if I killed you, they could resurrect you and you could point the finger at me and say, he's the one that killed me. And so the rich guy who gets murdered hires Kovacs to solve his murder because he can't be spun up to solve his own murder. And the story goes in a lot of different directions. There's probably, maybe a dozen storylines running concurrently in the series as it goes along. But it's a fascinating story, and it's a really awesome world to get into. And I enjoyed the entire series.
Yeah, one of the things that I've really enjoyed about the whole show is the fact that the entire thing is based on a murder mystery. So if you like murder mystery type books, like, this show actually satisfies in that regard. And it actually exists in a plane kind of right between murder mystery and science fiction and a couple of other things. And they just do such a, I still have some, a few problems with the character himself and with the actor and how his character is portrayed. But generally speaking, I really love the tech. I love the idea. I love the fact that you actually get to see what it would be like. I mean, can you imagine what it would be like if a family member died, but they didn't actually die, because the next time you saw them, it could be them in somebody else's body? I mean, that's just a fundamental paradigm shift in terms of, like, how we even think about death as human beings. So I think all great science fiction has a tendency to push those limits of what we think is normal or what we think is moral. And I feel like this show is actually kind of doing that. I mean, the hero himself, Kovacs, I mean, he's a pretty brutal guy. And he's not afraid to do what it takes to do to get where he needs to go. And so he's a little bit of an anti-hero. But, you know, you start to look at the tech and which direction it's going. And that kind of, actually, one of the things I love about it is that it feels like a really good crossing between, it's not all virtual. Like, the Matrix was all virtual, right? So you plug your head into this computer and you basically live inside the computer. This show takes the idea of that and it puts it back into the physical world, because all of a sudden you can have a different body with somebody else's personality inside of it. And that to me is very interesting. You know what this really reminds me of is, there is an excellent William Gibson novel. Of course, he's the master of cyberpunk, right? William Gibson wrote a novel called The Peripheral. And I don't know if you've read that or not, but the whole concept of that book is that through various virtual means, you can actually place yourself inside somebody else's body inside another time frame. And that, to me, is very interesting. And I think the show is kind of tending towards that. I really like it.
Well, one of the things, I don't want to ruin too much of the show for you if you've only gotten up to episode 4, but if anyone's listening and you'd like to call and chat with us, the number here is 646-668-2433. One of the interesting things about it, I'm not sure what episode it happens in, so if you haven't seen this, I apologize, but have you gotten up to a part yet where Kovacs is going down the street and he's going to the police station with Ortega, the female cop that ends up being his partner, and there's a religious demonstration going on in the streets? Have you seen that part yet?
Yes, where they're sort of protesting against the whole concept of being able to, you know, bring somebody back from the dead, so to speak.
Yes, because later on in the show, there's one particular guy that he runs into in the street who's going to be who's going to play a part later in the thing. And what it comes down to is the religious groups are completely against this because they think that once you die and in the body that you're born into, once that body dies, if they take if they put you into another body, you lose your soul and you're no longer, you're soulless at that point.
Mm-hmm.
So there's this whole religious angle that's going on. If you have a religious, if your stack is labeled religious, they are not allowed to spin you up or revive you for any reason whatsoever because it's your religious choice. So part of the other thing in this episode or in this series is dealing with religious implications of where does life begin and where does life end? And Ortega's family is one of these religious people. But Ortega, she doesn't really believe in it. So she decides to bring her grandmother, her dead grandmother, back to life. And she does it illegally using the body of this tattooed nose ring, criminal that she arrested at the police station. And she puts her grandmother in there. And you got this old lady who's talking to her family and her kids in the body of this big, tattooed criminal. It's just really, really funny. And there's a really good conversation that happens at the end of that scene between the grandmother and Ortega. And it asks a lot of questions. Have you seen that one yet?
Well, that's the episode that I just watched. That's episode 4. And so it was, the whole episode was centered around a Dia de los Muertos celebration, which for anybody who doesn't know, that's a Latino celebration that celebrates the Day of the Dead. When, if you, in traditional Latino culture, what you would do is you would take pictures of your ancestors and you would place them on the altar and you might tell stories about them or you might remember them or that kind of stuff. And so what they do in Altered Carbon is they take that to the next level, and Ortega says, okay, you know what I'm going to do? Grandma gets spun up once a year. We're going to spin her up for this Dia de los Muertos, and we're going to put her in the body of this really interesting guy. And what's so cool about it is that even though she's in the body of this, 6'4", nose ring having dude, he still, like the actor, portrays it as an abuela, as a Latino grandma, and he actually does a great job with like the accent and the way that he actually speaks to Ortega as a granddaughter. Like he has that kind of relationship. I just loved that episode because my daughter goes to a Spanish immersion school. We have a little bit of a connection to that kind of culture, and to have that actually kind of addressed as an issue in the show, I just thought was super cool.
And I liked at the end when the grandmother tells Ortega that she doesn't want to come back. She says goodbye to everybody, and she wants to leave, and she wants to rest, and she doesn't want to come back again.
Yeah, and she says it's because she couldn't top the experience that she just had. She like just had so much fun, and she just feels like very at peace, and she just doesn't want to come back anymore.
And as the show goes on, what's going to happen as you watch it is one of the things I liked about it is the anti-hero, where we see Kovach in the beginning and where we're going to see him at the end. It's kind of like Snake Plissken in the Escape from New York movies, where the journey that he's going to take is going to change him so that when he gets to the end, he's no longer that guy that we met in the beginning. He's a different person now. And we get to take that journey with him, which is fascinating. Have you gotten to the part yet where he goes to the AI hotel and meets his partner there at the Raven?
Yeah, I actually really like the AI hotel. I mean, there's so many cool things about this show, but one of the cool things is that it sets so many sort of hundreds of years in the future that we are already several generations of technology behind by the time we start this show. So the hotel that he goes to sort of set up as his base of operations is actually an AI hotel. So it's a hotel run by an artificial intelligence. And by the time he shows up at the hotel, the AI has not had a resident for 50 years. So the AI is extremely excited to have a resident, extremely excited that the resident has a very deep line of credit, and he basically is willing to do anything that the guy can do for him, including, you know, getting guns or keeping people out or whatever needs to be done. I actually loved, speaking of the Dia de los Muertos episode four, I know I just watched it a couple nights ago, so it's fresh in my mind. The AI paints his face and his whole body in a really interesting way because he literally incorporates the look and traditions of about five or six different cultures in his kind of getup that he puts on for Dia de los Muertos, which I just think is hilarious. He's like, I love holidays. I'm going to paint myself in every way possible.
And I love that character.
He's so good. I mean, he makes
a great
companion.
What's his name?
The
Raven? Is that his name?
Well, I think that's
what
they call him. Yeah, I mean, it's the Raven Hotel, so I think I don't know that he actually calls him a name at any point, but yeah.
He's like the Doctor on Star Trek Voyager.
Yeah, he is. He's kind of always in the background and always available, you know? It's like, what do you need?
He just shows up.
Yeah, sure, I got one of those. Yeah.
He's really cool. The whole environment that they create in this show is a lot of fun, and I'm looking forward to season two. And there's a lot of twists. You might think you know where the story's going, but it goes somewhere different. And when you get to the end and you find out who the bad guy really is and who actually committed the murder, you'll be shocked. And you'll be like, wow, I didn't see that coming. How are they going to top this? This was outstanding. It was just well written, well acted. And I can't recommend Altered Carbon enough. Get through the first episode. It is a little confusing at first, and there's a lot of flashbacks to people running through the jungles. And Kovach is actually a Oriental guy, I think. Yeah, he's Oriental, and so is his sister. And so when they're switching back and forth, and you're seeing him in one body, and then you're seeing him in another body, and you're like, this is really confusing. Stick with it, because once they get beyond setting up the background of Kovach and he wakes up 250 years in the future, the wait will be worth it. I guarantee it. You'll be happy that you stuck with it.
Yeah, I think it's a super good show. I will say that if you're squeamish and you don't like blood or violence, the show might not be for you because it's a little intense at points. I mean, I don't know if it's in as intense as something like Black Mirror, just psychologically, but you know, episode four, there's some stuff that goes down that you have to be kind of ready for. So I think it's an excellent show. I love the storytelling. I love the world that they're in. The guy, I'm hoping I like him a little bit better as a character. Four episodes in, here's my take on him. Obviously, he's like from a physical standpoint, he's amazing, right? He's like this super cut dude who knows like martial arts, and you just do not want to mess with this guy. But his acting skills, to me, leave a little bit to be desired. I think what he has right now for me is he has the I'm in so much pain I can't even focus kind of look down really well. but I'm hoping that they develop his character just a little bit more. Like I said, four episodes in, so I'm working on limited information here. But I am hooked on the world, and I'm hooked on the murder mystery part of it. So, yeah, I'm in.
Well, the bigger mystery that you don't even know is a mystery yet is whose body is Kovach in? Given that thought yet?
Well, so they in episode four they mentioned this guy named Riker, and there's this whole like interaction between Kovach and Ortega about who is Riker, And I understand that Riker is somebody probably important to Ortega, but I don't totally understand who he is yet. So.
And you're going to go off. It might be the next episode or the one after that, but there's one or two episodes that are going to center on Riker. And you're going to find out who he is, who he was, what happened to him, and his attachment to Ortega and her grandmother and that whole situation.
Okay.
So there's all kinds of different angles and different stories going on that you don't even know are stories yet.
Yeah,
which
that's cool.
Is fascinating.
I love that.
The levels, you know, you're going along and you're going to find out a lot about the AI guy at the Raven. That questions you never even thought to ask, you're going to find out.
Oh, cool.
Cool. He's got another partner. There's this black dude whose name I can't remember. I don't know if you've run into him
well,
yet.
He's been in the first few episodes, and he's provided very poor backup so far.
Well, there's stuff about him that you're going to find out, and you're going to go, whoa. I mean,
there's a plot about his daughter, I know. Yeah, yeah.
Yes, there's a plot about his daughter, which involves the AI guy and Bancroft, the rich dude. There's another side story. It's just there's a lot of layers going on. There's a lot of things happening. And just when you think you got it figured out, they drop another bomb on you. And it's like, I didn't think of that. Because remember, these people can jump from body to body to body.
Which is such a cool idea.
Future,
I mean, yeah, so cool.
It's illegal to have more than one body.
Yeah.
They
but
call
you can
it
do
dual
it.
Stacked.
Yeah.
If you're rich
you
enough and you have enough money, you can do it, but it's illegal. And if you have enough money, you can clone your body and come back as yourself time after time after time. There's one scene in the beginning, I think it's the first episode, when Kovach wakes up. And there's a family there, and their 7-year-old girl is killed, and they bring her back in an 80-year-old woman's body. And it's like, that's not right. So you get to see the way people that don't have money are treated as compared to people that have money. And there's a whole
layer. Yeah, go ahead.
There's a lot going on in this, and I can't recommend it enough. My wife didn't really like it. Jamie watched it with me and got into it. It's very, very violent, very bloody. There's some scenes that are pretty nasty. There's naked people running all over the place. So if violence and nudity bothers you, then this show probably isn't for you. But the grittiness.
But if you can hang in, and if you are a big, I don't know, I'm a huge sci-fi book fan, and I can start to talk about all kinds of similarities to things that I've read that come into this show. I mean, I've already mentioned William Gibson. There's some, Neal Stephenson, Neuromancer type stuff in here. There's definitely, you even get into some Chung Kao type stuff where the city, the population of the city, you know, the lowlifes dwell on the lower levels, and the upper crust of society dwells in the very uppermost levels of the city. That's very Chung Kao by David Wingrove, if you've read that series. So just a lot of cool mixing of different sci-fi genres and putting them together in a good story. But I can't stress enough. You're right, Jim. I mean, you got to be ready for the violence. It's a little bit violent, but man, it's a good story.
It is a really good story, and I definitely give it a thumbs up. If you have Netflix, check it out. I don't think you'll be disappointed.
Agreed.
And so that's the end of Geek Talking with Uncle Jim and Eric. We're going to be back on Trek Talking on Thursday night. We're going to be talking Star Trek cadet training episodes that were mentioned for the Vulcan Hello. And we're also going to be talking about the Ferengi Faction Pack. So that'll be Thursday night, same bat time, same bat channel, 7:30. And we'll have our usual co-host along with us. I'm not sure if GM Chris will be able to make it or not, but the rest of us will be there, and we're going to have a lot of fun. So we will see you guys on Thursday night, and look for another episode of Geek Talking with Uncle Jim on Monday. I don't know what we're going to talk about, but maybe the Black Panther movie. I'm not sure. Anything. Well, thank you for spending a half an hour with me, Eric, and I will talk to you on Thursday night.
Take care, guys.
Good night, everybody.
Let's see what's out there. Engage.